a mantra that I found useful for myself, and I've used it from time to time in various situations, is this mantra of first going inwards. Perhaps it's the first law of spirituality. When there isn't spirituality, then always the vision is focused outside. But with spirituality, Baba's first lesson is to teach us to look inwards, and going inside, exploring what's going on, understanding what's happening, sorting things out. And if things are clear, then it's very easy to go upwards and make the connection with Baba. And having understood what's going on, then making contact with Baba, feeling Baba's presence, and taking Baba's help in doing whatever needs to happen inside. And if I've done this, the inwards and the upwards, then coming back into the situation, into connections and relationships, is going to be not just with my own capacity, but it's going to be with Baba's presence, Baba's help, Baba's protection, Baba's blessings, Baba's guidance. All of these energies come into play. And then coming outwards is going to be fruitful and effective. And on the basis of that, then obviously I'll be moving forward, but also hopefully anyone else who's around will also be moving in the same direction with me. And so when Daddy asked me to take up the essence of this particular season, and normally the season is just a couple of months, and this time our good fortune that our season has been a long one. And so when she asked me to take up the season's classes, I thought, well, if I put it into that particular framework for myself, it'll be useful for me. And the interesting thing about conducting a class is that, first of all, it's homework for the self and benefit for the self, and then whatever benefit there is for anyone else is bonus. But first and foremost, it's benefit for me. So, let's try. The inward. And I think that last year, the word that came into everybody's vocabulary was the word Sakash. No need to take a second guess. It was the buzzword of the season. And everybody learned that word and added it to their vocabulary. And this year, the word? Sadhana. And sadhana we translate as spiritual endeavor. But that's the sort of basic word translation. And then for me, this year, beautiful, beautiful definitions that I've heard from Baba, and then in particular from the three Dadis. And all three Dadis have taken it up very strongly in different situations. And the sadhana is all part of the inner work that I need to do inside here. One comment from Daddy Prakash Muni, for example. She said, well, all of us are constantly making plans for service, and we are so concerned about service, we are so engaged in service, involved in service, and yes, of course, that's wonderful, but are we as interested and as engaged and as involved in the subject of sadhana? Because that's surely the subject that's going to lead us to perfection. The service, well, that's happening, and it's going to happen at a faster and faster speed, but it's going to be our sadhana that actually also determines the quality of service, but it's going to be my own personal sadhana that's going to take me to my own destination. And Dadi Gulzar said, sadhana means to let go and forget, and if I can do this, only then can I be engaged in tapasya. Which is putting it a bit differently, because at some point I would have said that it's tapasya that liberates you from bondages, right? And what the Dadis were saying to us this time is that it's the tapasya that can only happen when you are free from bondages. It's the sadhana that's going to make you free from bondage, and as a result of the sadhana, then your mind is free, the intellect isn't pulled anywhere else, and then it's going to be able to have real powerful tapasya. So that was a different insight. And it was of course Dadi Janaki who then took up, in particular, one interview, and the question that was put to Dadi was, what is the difference between sadhana, remembrance, yoga, and tapasya? And the words are a little bit similar, and do they all mean the same thing? Are there very specific definitions of all of this? And you know how sometimes there's a class or a murli that leaves such a deep impression on you that you remember it for a long time afterwards. Well, this particular interview that was conducted with Dadi and the answers and definitions that she gave in this, it was early in February, and so many of you may have read it on the rosary already, but it's still worth talking about it. And I felt as if here was a professor who had given us absolutely guidelines that we had to work with, and even if Dadi hadn't taken another class after that definition, I felt that I had enough material to be working with just with that one. So here goes. The first step, the yoga, and Dadi said how there's the experience of the connection with Baba, and when you say yoga, then it's like you're making the link, but as everybody knows, there's the experience of making the link and then also the link moving away. And so remembering and forgetting, both things happen together. But if I've been moving into the subject of sadhana, then the sadhana is what's going to strengthen my foundation, and it's through this that I'm going to be able to have a real experience of the connection with God. And to whatever extent I'm focused on the sadhana, to that extent I'm going to be able to make that link with God, which is unbroken. And so sadhana means renunciation. And in sadhana, look inside and see, what are the different things that are holding me down? And if I can make a list each day of the things that I want to leave behind, then I'll be working on myself and throwing away all the rubbish that the soul has accumulated, all the habits, all the attitudes, all the rubbish, all the things that when I look inside I know are really bondages. Today when Dadi was meeting with the European group, Dadi asked us to make a list of 18 bondages, because on the 18th of January Baba mentioned the 18 bondages that souls are caught up in, and this had come from a class in Madhuban, amongst a discussion amongst the Madhuban Nivasis, and the 18 bondages that they had identified. And so what we're going to do is to let you all have a look at this list of the 18 bondages tomorrow and see how you're dealing with them. But for each one personally also, to be able to have such clarity that I'm able to look inside and see what is it that's causing the block in my own tapasya, what is it that's holding me back, so that I can finish it, let go of it, and forget it. And at one point, again, Daddy used an expression of three steps that are going to allow me to come to that state of total freedom. And the three steps that she mentioned, first of all, realization. Secondly, attention. And thirdly, determination. And so, first, the realization. And today we were talking about how it's actually only by really going very deep into the consciousness of the soul and having real honesty with the self that you're even able to realize what are the bondages that are holding me down. Because looking at things superficially, you say, well, you know, things are okay, there's nothing that's too much, that's too bad, and I'm moving along and I'm doing okay. But why is it that I'm not flying ahead? Why is it that I'm still not near my destination? A thing that's been coming to my mind very powerfully in the last little while is, Mama was 46 when she became Karmatit. Baba needed 33 years of Gyan and Yoga, and Baba became Karmatit, and that's already 30 years ago. And we don't have decades and decades, but however long it is we've been with Baba, and to whatever extent we've been making effort, how much more time is it that we have? And this time I've been quite surprised at Baba giving us the span of 3 months, and a few weeks of that has already gone by, and we're talking about June the 15th. And June the 15th isn't so far away. And so am I going to be able to achieve the things that I would like to achieve by June the 15th? Very specific date that Baba has given. And so realization, to be able to actually go deep within myself with that total honesty and identify whatever it is that is holding me down. And then second, the connection with Baba and the attention on the self, so that I'm dealing with it. And one of the words that Baba, the Dadis, all have been using in particular this season has been this word attention. And I've forgotten which Murli it was in, but it was in one of the fresh Murlis this season that Baba used the expression to be liberated from labor. Remember it? It was an expression that Baba used frequently in one of the recent Murlis. And so when Baba's talking about making effort, Baba's very specific. Baba's not talking about labor and hard work. Baba's simply talking about attention and consciousness and awareness. And whatever it is that I'm giving energy to, whatever it is I'm focusing my attention on, that's what's going to happen. That's the transformation that's going to take place. And experiment with that truth, and you'll see how it works as a reality. Whatever it is you decide to give your attention to, you'll see things beginning to change, things beginning to happen. And so, second step, attention. if some things come to my attention, then, and if I keep it in my attention, instead of letting my attention get distracted or my focus move elsewhere, if I do this, then I'm going to be successful with it. But of course, the third step, I need to be determined, which means that I should know exactly what it is I want. And again, human nature, if there's something that you want, nothing is going to shift you away from it. Look back over your experience, and if you're 20 years old or 60 years old or anywhere in between and beyond, it's true, isn't it? If there's something that I want, no one and nothing can stop me. So my own motivation and my determination. But it was an easy way to remember it when Daddy put it like this. Realization, attention, and then determination, and you can make it happen. And so in terms of sadhana, the realization of what it is that's happening and what I need to do. To what extent am I free? Am I so free that at any moment I can choose to have my thoughts connected with Baba and that happens? Or is it a situation where other things interfere? Or is it a situation where it takes me time to come to that stage? And the thing that Baba's been taking up just continually through the whole season, and in fact before this season also, but this season in particular, look at every single one of the muralis and you'll see it coming up absolutely every single time. And so it's telling me that we haven't yet properly understood it or dealt with it. And the subject I'm talking about is waste thoughts. And in fact, Baba spoke about not just waste thoughts, but waste words, waste actions. And so all three of those things. And if that's what's happening, then of course, a waste of my time, my energy, and everything else. But waste thoughts, waste words, waste actions. If I'm truly interested in sadhana and letting go and finishing all the stuff that is useless, that I don't want to keep, then the waste that comes in is the thing that's interfering in my being able to go upwards, both in terms of my connection with Baba as well as my ability to actually fly. And so it isn't somebody else that's stopping me from making a link with Baba. I can never ever put that on anyone else at all. The interesting thing is that when it comes to the situation of service, we can always say, but this one, that one, or the other one, opportunity, no opportunity, that happened, the other happened, health, wealth, you know, all of these things come in as excuses. But when it's the subject of my connection with God, my spiritual progress, just in terms of being able to move upwards and move forwards, it's only me, and Baba is there. Baba is giving me everything, everything, everything that I want, more than I ever dreamt of, more than I ever expected. And so, what's happening? What's going on? Well, it's not anybody else. It's not Baba, so who is it? So I have to sort things out. And today, with the European study, was pointing out that we put a very royal package on the subject of waste thoughts. And we'll justify that and we'll say that, but this is important. This needs my attention. This is something that I have to think about. And in fact, what we're doing is giving excuses. And the reality is that, no, I don't have to think about it, I don't have to give it my attention. What I do have to do is to simply give my good wishes, which is different to having waste thoughts about it and thinking about it and making my machine work over time. And if I want to carry on doing it, well, that's fine, that's my choice. But what Baba is saying to me is that if I go inwards and I check, how useful is this thought, or how useful is this line of thinking, then a mantra that Baba's given us a long time ago, time to practice it, think before you think. Before you give your mind permission to go running away somewhere. Yesterday's little dramas were beautiful, and why they were so entertaining is because I think everybody identified with them. I think they touched everybody's hearts, you know. That's what's going on inside. The actors have been able to present it on stage, but it's exactly what's going on inside. And so think before you think, and only then give yourself permission to move in that direction. Otherwise, thoughts go running off, and what's happened is that my own happiness has gone, my connection with Baba has disappeared, and I've created a jungle for myself. And then I say, save me, protect me, help me, what's going to happen? And so Baba's point that it's carelessness, or it's body consciousness that's allowing waste thoughts to come. And if I'm attentive, and if I'm truly moving inwards, checking inside, then the rains are powerful. A very, very powerful, beautiful murli on the whole subject of controlling power and ruling power. And so to what extent do I actually take this gift that Baba's giving me, the gift of power, and using it to actually discipline what's going on here inside? And so in the subject of inward, all the material that Baba has given us is material for us to be experimenting with and using in a very, very easy and natural way. And the more I do this, the more I see the results. The other mantra that's been coming very strongly in terms of cleaning out what's in here, which is part of the process of sadhana, and coming to that state where really the mind is completely pure, the mind is clean, it's absolutely honest, and I can move upwards very easily. Because that's what's going to determine how quickly I can move upwards, move inside, and it should take one thought to go in, it should take one thought to be able to lift off and make the connection with Baba. And that's my state of cleanliness and honesty. I think practically every class that Dadi conducts uses this term, Sachai Safai, the honesty and the cleanliness. And so really, to be able to see to what extent am I keeping things clean in here. And it requires that attention, not just every day. Imagine if it's just every day even, by the end of the day, there's quite a bit of grime and dust that you've already accumulated. But it actually requires attention through the whole day. If I'm giving it that sort of attention, then I'm not accumulating rubbish that I then have to deal with at the end of the day. Anyway, if I'm going to do that, then I'm getting heavier and heavier and getting weighed down. And then at the end of the day, I say, well, what happened to the intoxication I had when I started the day? So maybe Amrit Vela was beautiful, morning murli was intoxicating, class was very powerful. And then if there isn't the attention through the day, then it comes down and down and down and down. And the soul gets heavier and the shoulders start drooping, and it's actually visible, isn't it? And when you look at Devi Prakashmani and you just see her absolutely radiant, and that's been such a powerful image that's going to stay in my mind from the moment of her entry into the hospital to the moment of her departure from the hospital. Absolutely just a shining, radiant face the whole time. And then of course people say, oh, but that's Dadi. But Dadi is us, you know, Dadi is my sister, your sister. Dadi is very much a human being, an angel in human form, but an example for all of us to see and follow. And so that lightness comes because the soul has kept the heart very clean and light. And so if I'm feeling heavy, then a question, why am I feeling heavy? Baba's given me so much, and how come I'm not using it? It's because I'm not actually taking the things that Baba's giving me and going inwards with it. It's sort of somewhere here and floats in, floats out. But I listen, I take it in, and inwards I use it. Then it's going to stay with me. And so to keep a heart that's clean, making sure that I'm not seeing defects, I'm not seeing rubbish, I'm seeing the things that are useful. Doesn't matter whether it's in Madhuban or whether it's back out there on our field of service. You see examples of both stories in Madhuban as well as out there. One particular story I'd like to relate is two people who decided that they would just have an exchange of jnana. And they'd been seeing Dadi early on when they came, and Dadi suggested, let there be spiritual friendship, let there be an exchange of jnana. And they wrote Dadi the results of their experiment every day. And one of them is here in Madhuban now. And if anybody is interested, I can tell you who to go to and speak. But experiment with it. And just keeping the mind very, very clean so that the connection with Baba stays, and then outwards, the connection with others, one of spirituality, one in which there's a commitment to sharing only jnana, only good things. And it's going to make such a difference. In the space of 10 days that they made this effort, they reported back to Dadi that it was like there'd been a difference that otherwise 10 years of effort hadn't made, but just 10 days of this one attention and huge, huge transformation. And so keep your heart, keep your mind, keep your eyes absolutely clean. And connected with that, the honesty. Let me be absolutely honest with myself. I think that's the first step, even more than the question of honesty with Baba. First, the honesty with myself. Then, I can be honest with Baba, but also, not just the inward and the upward, also the honesty with others around me. If I want to have a relationship with others that's light and easy, it depends on transparency. Everything being very, very clear. And the clearer my own mind is, the more honest I am inside, the easier it is to be honest outside also. There was a lovely comment that Baba made to the Madhuban Nivasis, and that happened March the 1st, I think. And just before that, Baba's often talked about groups coming together. And very often you've had the experience of how, you know, a group comes together and it stays together for a short while and then something happens and it expands and so on and so on. Well, this time there was one particular group that came together in February, and it stayed and stayed and continued and stayed, and a very lovely, sweet friendship grew up amongst the members of that group. And I think only a few of us had the good fortune of being continually in that group since its beginning to this point, and others have floated in and floated off and they've gone back to their places. But the friendship that it generated has been a very beautiful one, and it's simply because there was a great conversation of spirituality. And so spiritual friendship in terms of outwards and keeping Baba between us, if I've gone in, gone up and brought Baba back with me, then the connections here are filled with Baba's influence. And so when there's that, and Baba again telling the Madhubanivasis, it's fine to think that you're able to make effort on your own, and of course effort has to be personal and individual, but also come together. And even if you don't think you need to come together with others, Baba mentioned this, even if you think you don't need it, never mind, still do it for the sake of others. Treat it as an exercise of service, that you're doing it to serve others. But of course Baba knows that even doing it like that, the repercussions are going to come back and you're going to be benefiting. And so the spiritual friendship within a group, coming together within a class, is a different experience. My personal effort is a different experience, but the spiritual friendship within a group is very enriching and empowering. And the blessings that one receives from a spiritual conversation within a group are very sweet, and that also helps the soul move forwards very beautifully. And so outward, share the experiences that you had with Baba, benefit from the experiences that others are having with Baba, and then it'll be easier to move forward together. And so that's been, for me personally, a very, very important lesson in Madhuban in a practical sense, because it's something the Baba talks about, that the Dadis have mentioned, but then this is a season in which I've actually done it with a great sense of commitment myself. And so it works, definitely. But within the group, the spiritual experience and the sharing of the spiritual experience and the honesty within the spiritual experience, just a word of caution that what I'm sharing should be that which is going to be of value and benefit. It should be the results of my own experiment. It shouldn't be that which is polluting and that which is waste. There was a beautiful murali that Baba took on the theme of purity. And it was actually, I think, the murali in which Baba was took, maybe it was the same one, March the 1st, but the theme of the murali was the holiest and the highest. And I'm sure that those words stay in your mind. And Baba was first of all reminding us of how Baba sees us as being the highest. And a very sweet technique to learn both from Baba as well as the Dadis. First, a lot of love, a lot of regard, a lot of encouragement, a lot of respect, the boosting, the raising of the consciousness, the empowering. And then, whatever else needs to be explained or told, not criticism, but gentle guidance, not even correction, but if through conversation and friendship I can make somebody aware of something that needs attention, Well, let me do that. But in that context of firstly having given a lot of love and respect, so in the first part, sitting in front of Bhavan, this was a beautiful scene in Om Shanti Bhavan that really reminded all of us of olden days and being with Baba in that intimate, I mean, Om Shanti Bhavan was 3,000, so not so intimate. Intimate was when we used to meet Baba in Baba's room. How many of those of you who were sitting here had that opportunity of meeting Sakar Baba or Avyat Bab Dada in Baba's room in Madhuban? Not even a handful, two, to be precise. But yes, great fortune for those of us who had that fortune. But compared to Shantivan, of course, Om Shanti Bhavan seems good fortune. So the moral of that particular lesson, take the fortune that comes to you when it comes to you and appreciate it, because you don't know what's going to happen further down the line. So when in the days of Om Shanti Bhavan we go, oh my goodness, it's already 3,000. I had no anticipation that there'd come a time when I'd be sitting in a gathering of 20,000. So really, you don't know what drama holds, and you don't know what is good fortune unless you experience it at this moment. So this is fortune today. Whatever the future holds, let it happen when it will. But really, no question of comparing to the past and saying, oh, but why isn't it like this anymore? Times are changing, times are moving on, and we know that that's a reality, but there are many visible signs by which we see it also. So Om Shanti Bhavan and Baba talking to us about being the highest. And those of you who heard that merely on internet even, the intoxication must have been rising with every single word that Baba spoke, because it was really that, Baba just reminding us of our amazing fortune and being multi-million times fortunate, more fortunate than even multi-millionaires, and beautiful, beautiful things. And then of course Baba told us about being the holiest, and that reminded us of what more we needed to do. But within that, Baba talking about how let there be the sparkle of purity in your eyes, let there be the sparkle of purity in your forehead, let there be... Baba used two words that are very similar, bhav and bhavna. And bhav, the significance behind something, the meaning behind something. And in that context, Baba was talking about the vision of brotherhood, the awareness of the soul and seeing others as souls also. And then bhavna, Baba spoke about good feelings. And if I've been doing the sadhana, sorting things out inside, making sure that there's good thoughts, not waste thoughts, then the good thoughts are going to lead to good feelings. And with Baba's love and all the treasures that I receive from Baba, then it's going to be very easy to move outwards with only good wishes for all, feelings of mercy and benefit for all, feelings of wanting to give and wanting to share rather than wanting to take. And so my relationship with others, filled with that bhavna, that feeling of good wishes for others, that others should also have benefit, a feeling of wanting to share good things, that's absolutely the direct result of this exercise of inwards and upwards and then outwards. If I haven't done it in this sequence, I'm not full. I don't have that richness of treasures to be able to give anything out there. But if I've taken from Baba, cleaned out, taken, then there's something of value to share. And the other thing that Baba spoke of when Baba was talking to us about being the holiest, Baba gave a beautiful, beautiful definition of brahmachari. And normally we translate brahmachari as celibate, which is accurate, it's the right translation. Brahmachari means to follow the path of purity. But a definition that Baba gave now, and it's one that Baba's taken up before also, brahmacharya, following in the footsteps of Brahma, having Brahma as my teacher, and then keeping Brahma Baba as the model in front of me, and then seeing what my thoughts, my words, my actions, and my direction and my life is like in terms of the example that Brahma Baba has set for me. A few times through the season, Baba's given us the example of following in the Father's footsteps. And when Baba says following in the Father's footsteps, Baba's not talking about a point of light up there somewhere, but inwards and upwards. When I go upwards, it's yes, incorporeal God and my connection with incorporeal God, but it's also my connection with the angel Brahma Baba. And so, is the angel Brahma Baba, the one who's the model in front of me, is that being the one who's guiding me? And to follow in those footsteps, Baba was pointing out how I don't have to think about creating a new pattern. I don't have to try and be a pioneer and beat a new path. But it's easy because I just have to see and follow. A question that somebody asked Daddy in the context of this, well, for you, Brahma Baba was there in front of your eyes 33 years, and so easy for you to say, well, this is what Baba did, and so this is what I should do. And literally, this is how the dadis work. There's something that happens, and they'll go into silence, and they're connecting not only with incorporeal God, but they're also thinking about Baba, Brahma Baba, and what did Baba say? What did Baba do? How did Baba respond in this particular situation? And it's very clear for them. But for us, two other methods. One, the Murlis. The Murlis tell us what Baba's responses are to anything and everything that's going on. Baba's seeing all sorts of ups and downs. How is Baba dealing with it? Drama, nothing new. Okay, good wishes. Baba's saying, it's a kingdom that's being established. Baba's demonstrating not just the instructions of God coming through the Murli, but Brahma Baba demonstrating what to do through the Murli. So one, read the Murli with that sort of attention and you know what it is Baba does, would do, and how to follow in the footsteps of the Father. And secondly, the Dadis. See the example, the model of the Dadis, and you have a very, very clear picture of Bab Saman. And if that's my goal, and Bab Saman isn't something just for a handful, Baba's giving that destination to all of us, that if you want, this is the destination you can reach Bab Saman. And so Brahmachari, Acharya, the teacher Brahma, and Acharan, the activity, the behavior, and so both interpretations, see Brahma Baba as your teacher and follow, or see the behavior of Brahma Baba and follow, and model your own behavior on the basis of that, and true purity, absolute purity, will then be very, very possible. If that's the model that I have in front of me. And so the whole subject of
cleanliness and purity and a clean heart. These have been very important topics that have been coming out very, very strongly. And the tapasya, I talked about how the yoga, the breaking, the making, the linking, the forgetting that comes and goes, then the sadhana. I've been working on sorting all of these things out inside, not comparing with anyone. Sadhana, in terms of letting go, also means letting go of comparison with others, keeping my own perfect form in front of myself. My link with Baba will also help me with that, because the mantra that, again, is very powerful in this, how does Baba see me?
Others. Not how am I seeing myself with Lokic vision, or how am I seeing others with body conscious vision, but how does Baba see me? And on the basis of that, also, how does Baba see others? And keeping that vision, then I'm going to be able to have that preparation for tapasya. And in tapasya, the fire of yoga, the power of yoga, the stage of yoga, which is truly the burning of the old samskaras and the settling of the karmic accounts of the past, and absolutely finishing all trace of all the rubbish. There was a very powerful image that Dadi used at one point. She said how when you've got a garden that seems to be in a mess, well, what you have to do is to first clear out all the rubbish, pull out the weeds, get it together, gather all the rubbish together in one corner, sweep it into a corner, and then you can see that the garden looks really nice and fresh and beautiful, and so it needs work. And so the same thing in here. Pull out the weeds, sweep away the rubbish, but if you just leave the rubbish to rot in a corner, it's not going to be very healthy. What you have to do is, having collected all the rubbish, then you have to burn the rubbish. And then it'll be clear. Then it'll be gone. And so the sadhana will have helped me clear out all the rubbish, but then the burning of all the rubbish, that will happen with the tapasya. And in that stage where really that link with God, in which there's no distraction, no disturbance, and the soul is feeling that state of cleanliness and all the rubbish is being burnt, the alloy is coming out, and that original state of the pure Satupradhan soul is visible. In terms of coming to that state of that pure Satupradhan soul, Dadi Prakash Muni, when she was with us at one point, there's a small group of us, she put it very powerfully and very beautifully. She said, I pull my soul out from here and I put it in front of me, and I become the observer, and I talk to myself and I say, hey soul, are you a flawless diamond? What are the flaws that are still within you? And I'll tell you what Daddy said for herself. Daddy said, when I look at the soul in that state, I see there are no flaws. There are no more stains. Baba, you have made me a flawless diamond, and so all I want to do is to just let others be the same so that you can be glorified. Now that's where that is at. And it's wonderful in the sense that here's a human being, very much a human being,
But a human being who is able to make that statement with such humility and authority. You know, we talk about this balance of humility and authority. And the wonder for the Brahmins is that we have these examples in real life for us. I had an interesting experience in Gujarat, many interesting experiences. But one of them, I was with a group of top executives in one of the biggest companies of India in Gujarat. And the topic was leadership. And in this particular case, we decided to make it interactive rather than a lecture at their request. And so I asked them first to give me a list of qualities that they would see as being qualities of being a leader. And I don't need to do that exercise with you. Just read a Murali. And the Murali will tell you what is Raj Yoga, you know, the Murali on sovereignty, ruling power, controlling power, and you have the whole list of the qualities of leader. But we went through that exercise just for a few minutes, and beautiful qualities were being shared. And I said, I agree with absolutely every single one of those qualities that you've mentioned. But my next question, name me a person according to these qualities you would now say is a true leader. And there was silence for a good few minutes. And then somebody said, Swami Vivekanand. I said, yes, but he's dead. Name me a living leader. And after some time, they then said, Nelson Mandela. And I agreed, yes, it's true, he really is a leader. And I said, name me more. And there was a very long silence. And I said, it's true. It's very difficult to name leaders in the world out there now. But I have the good fortune of knowing a number of people who actually demonstrate all these qualities. And they're here in living form, not just, you know, been and gone some time ago, but they're actually here with us now. And some of them have been to Madhuban and have met the Dadis, and so, of course, they agreed. But it's interesting, isn't it, that our Dadis are so powerful, and when people think about it, they say, yes, of course, they're living leaders, they're examples. And yet when you ask a group of people out there, they don't instantly think about it. Why? And I thought about it myself, and I thought that it's because they have such a humility. And yes, when you're in their presence, of course you can see that they have that great, great authority also. But, you know, they will never say, I'm a leader, and will say, but of course they're leaders. But then they'll say that each and every one of you is a Raj Yogi, a ruler, a leader also. So that was interesting. But while I was mentioning this, it's wonderful that we have examples, humans who are here with us, who are role models. Because in the world out there, people don't have role models. And so it's very difficult for them to actually accept the reality of all this. Perfection? Who's seen it, who's demonstrated it, who's able to achieve it? And we're seeing people who are really maybe just a hairline away from that stage. And one of the things that Baba said to the Dadis, I think maybe it was this last meeting with Baba, when the Dadis went up on stage and Baba said to them, you've become the pillars. And because of you, everybody else is able to take benefit. And you're the ones who inspire hope in those who feel hopeless. And so, wonderful examples. But my point that Daddy talking about being the flawless diamond, being the observer of yourself, and then whatever it is that needs to happen, let me take Baba's help and remove that with the power of the Pasya. After this example of the flawless diamond had been used by Dadiji, Dadiji Anki went on to take up that image further, and she said how, you know, if there's even one hair that's on something, how thick is a hair? How thin is a hair? Just a hair. But imagine if you had a hair in your food.
Yeah.
Or if there's something absolutely clean and there's a hair on it, you think, doesn't look right. So you said, think about the flawless diamond and there's just one little trace on it, even as much as that. It doesn't look right. And so let me have that determination to remove it completely so that in the time that Baba has given, I become absolutely as Baba wants to see me, that pure Satupradhan state. And as Baba was speaking about this 3-month period, I was very aware, and then it's come even deeper into my consciousness that whatever it is you do, for even a few days, a few weeks, and definitely a few months, then becomes very natural and easy. And so what Baba was wanting to see for us was sovereignty, to be able to have that controlling power, that ruling power that was unbroken, undisturbed, uninterrupted. And so think about it just for a day first. Don't think about 3 months. Just a day. If for one day I maintain this awareness, next day it's going to be easier. Next day, even easier. And you'll be moving forwards very, very quickly. So those are some of the highlights that stay in my consciousness. But the last thing, Baba wants us to move forwards. Time is pushing us to move forwards. And so everything's on our side. We just need to have that desire. And if I have that desire, it's going to be very easy. Om Shanti.